I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
With Larkin, Werenski, and Jack Hughes.
Here comes McKinnon as well.
Here's McDavid moving it on Jack Hughes. Tries to slow him down. Puck lines up behind the net. And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Black across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it! The golden goal for the United States! For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold! Jack Hughes beating Jordan Binnington!
Welcome to another Golden Hour of Hockey Talk 2026, clearly the year for USA Hockey on the men's and women's side. This is Sabres Live, and we'll get to the Sabres who are back on the practice ice and ramping up for a return to action on Wednesday, but impossible not to lead with the culmination of the Olympic Games and golden all the way for both teams that we have talked about extensively, not only for weeks, but for a long time based on local connections and what have you. And congratulations to both the men and women of Team USA.
Yeah, we'll start with the men. Obviously, that was a spectacular final going to the OT between Team USA, Team Canada. The way that this game was played, the speed and the intensity right from the get-go, it was awesome. I said the round stage of the Olympics for me was like a 6 out of 10 because you had Canada in their own group. You had USA in their own group. You had Finland and Sweden in the middle group, but Sweden wasn't really playing well. And I'm like, it hasn't given me the impact that I wanted to see, but it's the group stage. It's like that at the World Championship and the World Juniors sometimes until the one big game. The quarterfinals was exciting. Mm-hmm. 3 games in overtime. The semifinal, especially when you look at Canada and Finland, the way Canada came back to score late. Even Slovakia, you're looking at them giving the U.S. a bit of a push. But we had the dream final. We all wanted to see Canada-USA. And I was surprised. I'm very surprised how Canada was not able to get more than one goal. They missed glorious opportunities. But got to give Connor Hellebuyck so much credit for the way that he played and backstopped that to a gold medal. It's like Ashek in 98.
You're taking the words out of my mouth. It's not unlike the first time that the NHL participated in these Olympic Games. And it's funny because producer Sam could validate this, but it was likely less than a month ago where we had a Sabres Live poll. Which of these goaltenders is going to have the greater career legacy when it's all said and done?
Oh, yeah.
And Connor Hellebuyck was so far in fourth on that list, despite more Vezinas and all the rest of it. And, of course, we hinted at, well, maybe it'll look different after the Olympics for him.
It does.
It really looks different now for a guy who's won 3 Vezinas, was the top goaltender of the Olympic Games. And
MVP.
Because they, meaning the U.S., were so dramatically outshot that it's impossible to not talk about Connor Hellebuyck for now the history of time as it relates to USA's 2026 gold medal.
Imagine we talked about Ryan Miller in 2010 and the performance as an MVP of the tournament. Now, Connor McDavid, again, like he wins the MVP of the tournament in a losing manner, just like he won the Conn Smythe in a losing manner. It's tough for Connor McDavid now, back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals lost and the Olympic loss. But when you're looking at the
good American picture, player skating by here.
I mean, we just did something. You're going to see it soon on Marty Takes On with Matthias Samuelsson. It was awesome. But when you look at Connor Hellebuyck.
2030 for Sammy, by the way.
2030, that's what he said. Okay, that's good.
I'm starting the campaign now.
He could very well be.
I started it 3 weeks ago, if I'm being honest.
Listen, if the way Team USA built their team, and there was some criticism to Bill Guerin going in, is that, and the way Team USA played their first 3 games, it was slow starts, finish strong, whatever, right?
Right, but if they don't get the goaltending, that criticism's going to be rampant today.
Rampant.
Right, and guess what? Canada chose Tom Wilson, and they didn't win. Is it Tom Wilson's fault? No.
No.
But but that's what happens when you don't stand on the right side of that razor-thin margin.
The book has some already predetermined storylines, but some of them are not going to be used, and some of them will.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, if you ask me before the tournament, Canada doesn't win gold, why? The number one thing would have been goaltending. It wasn't goaltending because Jordan Binnington was good in the tournament.
Tell me what happened to him on the winner. Did he think it was going to be an elevated puck?
A little bit. There's a lot to digest here.
Right.
I think that he felt, number one, maybe Nathan MacKinnon was going to get to the puck and be able to make a play
Nathan
on the puck.
Nathan hesitated, right?
He hesitated and he didn't go for the puck. It almost like he was thinking, how can I get that puck and create some offense instead of defending first?
Right.
He hesitated and then he didn't get to the puck. So now,
think about that for a second. How the fastest players in the world, because McDavid and MacKinnon were closest to the goal against. Even
and McCarr was on the ice too.
But not the closest to the net. Pulled a Larry Murphy.
get me away from the net.
Isn't it crazy that the fastest players, with the slightest of hesitations, can lead to that?
So that happened. MacKinnon hesitating on that puck, first of all. Then Werenski gets the puck. Mm-hmm. And I watched Jordan Binnington. And I rewatched the goal a few times. And I'm like, ooh, this happened. Binnington somehow decides to go reverse VH in that situation. Mm-hmm. Almost surprised, like, oh, Werenski may attack from the corner. I got to get in that position. Mm-hmm. Werenski passes over 20-30 Team Canada for Peyton Krebs, too. So he's shaking
his head. Shake. honest reaction.
He's like, I had that reaction many times in my career, too. So anyway, he goes reverse VH off the side.
Yeah.
And he's like, maybe I'm going to get a low attack. Uh-huh. And when the pass is made to Jack Hughes, he doesn't get up. He kind of slides over and keeps gliding, which, unless you're 100% sure where the puck's going to go, mm-hmm. when you're gliding up, holes are going to open. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was going to be glove, and it slides underneath, and it's 5-0, and it's game over. But again, who was the best forward, and maybe the best player other than Connor Hellebuyck for Team USA the whole tournament? I think it was Jack Hughes. From the first game, he was flying, he was dancing, he was creating offense. He was shooting the puck.
Yeah.
Like that goal that Quinn Hughes got it back to Jack, he shot, mm-hmm. and there was the deflection in front of the net. I don't remember who tipped it.
I mean, you're probably not wrong, obviously. I just feel like the USA showed incredible balance throughout, to the point where you could have this discussion for a lot of days. Like, who was
Jack Eichel with the Kachucks the by far and away the best line of the group? No.
But
not like Canada, but McDavid,
but
Celebrini.
Jack's role and everything he did, yes. right? Like, that's the
but
that's
even
where
Matthews, Gensel, Boldy, were they by far and away better than Larkin, Thompson, and whoever was
and
there?
Isn't that the whole point of how you construct a roster? And again, it's quote-unquote easier for Canada and the U.S. to assemble these rosters and not have to worry who's going to be the number one line, because on any given shift in any period,
they're number one on their team.
Right, exactly. So, but I applaud the U.S. for, you know, how they played, but also how they were constructed. And I take back, obviously, what my concern was going into the tournament, if we were going to, you know, criticize or suggest that, well, they should have taken Caulfield or I'm a Caulfield guy. I've been before his draft. And who knows? Would the U.S. have been better in regulation and won it in regulation if Cole Caulfield, clutch guy, had stepped up with a couple of third-period goals and they win it that way? Maybe.
Caulfield is like Jack Hughes. He can change the game like that.
My concern was this talk about power play and penalty kill, because we know no matter who was being put out there for either team, you're going to have elite power plays.
Dude.
And my thought was, I don't think there's going to be that many penalties called, so I don't, and I was wrong. I was so wrong. Late game situations in the medal round,
high stakes
and high sticks, and incredible need for penalty killers in the U.S.
U.S. were perfect.
They went perfect. So,
and they killed a 5-on-3 for a minute 40.
So, and who killed it? Did the goalie kill it? Did Canada's shooters kill it themselves?
I actually think that
doesn't matter, but
the USA got the puck down the ice 3 times on that 5-on-3.
Right.
It was great. Mm-hmm. And like, did I think that JT Miller had a big impact on the game? Not so much. I think Trocheck had a better impact.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the way that they build their lines, and I'm like, Kyle Connor, I feel bad for him, but he was invisible at the beginning of the tournament.
Which is easy to do sometimes when you're playing, you know, mismatched talent levels. I get that. But did
Keller
you not think – I mean, I obviously – see almost everything we talk about through a Saber lens. That's the whole point of it. If you're talking about penalty kill and Millers and Trocheks, and I get it, maybe their body of work is a little bit bigger, but you could have easily seen Alex Tuch in that
100%.
Role, right? And that's where you can always have this debate, and it's the greatest luxury and praise that you can bestow upon USA Hockey now, is that they clearly have so much depth. This is the greatest evolution of the game from this country's standpoint, is that they can ice USA 2 and USA 3. We never used to be able to say that. And this is not a surprise based on for how long the U.S. has dominated or come close to dominating every World Junior the last 15 years, right? It's either the U.S. or the Finns or Canada, seemingly, right? That's like Sweden wins the round robin every year.
And it's the ADM program that USA Hockey put in when I remember my son was maybe, he's an 04 birth, so 2009, 2010 maybe, they decided to kind of go to small area games, skill development, work on this, and then put the national development program together and all of that. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing it like 16, 17 years later.
Awesome.
It's really paying off. So Team USA has done an awesome job. But you go back to 96 World Cup or even the 98 Olympics or 2002, 2006 Olympics or whatnot, and Team USA was like Finland, was like Sweden. They had good players, but they didn't have the depth to compete with Russia and Canada. Now they do, and now that makes a big, big difference for what they can do. And listen, if I had to put together like a 2028 World Cup of hockey and a 2030 Olympic hockey, I'm looking at USA now, and I'm saying they've got guys coming through that will be there and could be very, very much in the gold medal conversation for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who's had the better career, Jack Eichel or Connor McDavid?
Well, I will say, like, hardware-wise, like team hardware, is Jack
Eichel. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Because he has a cup. He now
and
has
a gold medal.
And a gold medal.
And McDavid has, again, this is not personal and it's not real in the sense of obviously McDavid is McDavid. Mm-hmm. But isn't it crazy when Jack was in the draft year and what he said to the Sabres and the comparisons and, you know, well, it's amazing how it's turned out. Like McDavid, yes, they won the Four Nations. I get it. But he's had consecutive Stanley Cup finals where he's been on the wrong side of it and now a gold medal game. And in any of those situations, you're not blaming Connor McDavid. Obviously.
And you can never take that away from those who won. Like Tage Thompson comes back with a gold medal.
Yes.
Like how big is that going to be in that locker room starting whenever he comes back? Because, you know, number one, they couldn't fly into New York because of the storm in the East Coast. So they all flew into Florida, I believe. There may be some appearances that Team USA is going to have to do. The plan is that he'll probably meet the team in New Jersey on Wednesday, but who knows when he'll be able to play or available to play. What's best for him, too? Like, do you want to throw him in on Wednesday? He's dealing with a lower body injury.
This, that, or the other. Thompson plays, Hughes plays, neither play.
I'm saying neither play.
Okay.
Wednesday night. Well, first of all, Jack Hughes
has
to get.
That's unfortunate.
But I'm gonna say like that's hard. You just battled for 2 weeks
and
traveled. Like maybe you just take the first day. Like everybody that's playing on Wednesday, like maybe you don't. Maybe the earliest you could see Team Canada or Team USA players get back at it would be Thursday.
Where were you when the USA won?
On my couch.
Yeah.
Where were you?
You're gonna love this.
On a plane?
No.
Plane, trains, and
I was driving on Ontario's beloved 401.
Oh, yeah.
And as you also know, I don't have any subscriptions to many media services.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's not like I'm driving around. I got, you know, Sirius XM or whatever, right? So I'm scanning the dial.
Oh, for the AM call?
Yeah. But what did I find?
What did you find?
FM version, French radio.
Oh, you did?
Listen to it on, I'm assuming SRC. Is that still exist or not?
Yeah, that still exists, but it may have been something else that would have the radio
Let me just say, the hockey cliches that I grow tired of sounded much better in French. And what brings this back to the Sabres is, for me, because of growing up in Southern Ontario and having a devoted national French channel always available, and so few games being televised when I was a kid, the blessing was that the Sabres and Canadiens were in the same division.
Yes.
And on Saturday nights, the only way to get the Sabres games was to watch it in French.
Yep.
And so I have spent so much time in my life seeing Sabres games or hearing Sabres games on French radio or television. So I thought it was hilarious. And it's an easy game.
But you can feel the energy and the ebbs and flows.
It's
and
easy
yes.
to follow it that way.
And it's watching a soccer game in Spanish or something or in a different language. It's like, you know what's going on.
Yeah. And you know you're in a good one when you hear, ay, ay, ay.
Ay, 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 that's a mistake. Yes, that's a turnover. Kale McCarr, the pinch, ay, 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 right? Like, whatnot. But so, anyway, Team USA, the men, a great tournament.
Yeah, but the women set the stage.
The
Oh, my goodness.
Let me tell you, that team is potentially the best ever women's teams assembled. And got to give credit to Anne-Renée Desbiens, goalie for Team Canada, Marie-Philippe Poulin, who basically played on one leg, and Team Canada being up 1-0 all the way until 1.5 And Team Canada had chances to go up 2-0 maybe even 3-0 And Franco did awesome in net for Team USA, but that game was exciting. Mm-hmm. And when Hillary Knight, who else, to
who
score
else?
That game-tying goal, right, and put that to overtime, I was... That one had me even more on pins and needles, I think, than the men's game.
Yeah.
Because it was unexpected a little bit that that game was going to be close. I thought it was going to be a 5-0
Well, of course it's more dramatic because there's a lead. Somebody's in a lead with less than 3 minutes to go, right?
Yes.
The men's game is tied, and you're waiting. You know what I mean?
But there's also a lead in because they played 4 games in the rivalry series,
yes.
1 game in the group stage.
Yeah.
There's been 5 games being played leading up to that one.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. had won every one of them
and then
by a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you're like, ooh, Canada's in the lead, right? 1-0 That game was awesome. So obviously, Haley's Kimura, Buffalo's own, getting the gold medal. That's very exciting.
Yeah, and obviously, Sabres return to action on Wednesday. Noah Osland rolling by right now. Mm-hmm. And
I also did something with Noah last week.
Well,
that's going to be on Marty Takes On.
Marty Takes On?
Yeah, it's a new feature. We'll see that probably in the next few weeks here. One of them
on what platform?
It's going to be on social on social and sabres.com.
So I'll see it next year.
No, I'll send you the clip.
Okay,
don't
thanks.
Worry. But it's like getting to know these guys in the different. I did one in the weight room, which they put me through a workout. That was not easy.
You are looking good. I should have complimented you.
Thank
right
you.
Off the top.
I appreciate it. That's because you didn't see me in
one and
weeks.
Done.
That's what it is. And I did one with Matthias Samuelsson and Noah Osland.
Amazing.
Just on Thursday, so that was a lot of fun.
The reason I mentioned Noah, not only are the players gliding by here on wheels after their skate over at Harbor Center, it sounds like with Josh Norris ready to come back, that him skating with Osland and Doan is a distinct possibility.
Yes.
And I think that does, you know, if you're not just sitting here salivating about hockey because of what you just witnessed and the return to it in NHL form this week. And by the way, 3 and 4 nights for the Sabres, mm-hmm. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, all on the road before returning home next week.
25 games in 51 days.
Do you not get, it's got to be more than that. It's
one every other day plus one.
I think it's
25 games in 51 days.
Oh, 51. Yes. Yeah.
It's
sorry.
Every other day plus one.
I think you're exactly right. Just blurting out those three names together and then knowing, you know, we're going to be talking about everybody. Like, that has me super excited. Like, I'm not a big fan of the break. Never have been honest. That's been my stance the whole time. It is what it is. Olympics ended up being great. I didn't want the Sabres season to pause, but now we're coming out of it. They're in wild card one. They're 2 points out of second in the division.
Yes.
Lukanen's healthy. Norris is healthy. Dunn is healthy. Benson, not so much. We're not going to see him on the trip this week despite practicing. By the way, trade deadline is March 6th. So, like, you're going to get hit head on here with an awful lot of hockey stories beyond the games that actually get played on the ice.
It'll be interesting for me. You mentioned Benson will not play this week, so he'll miss Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. He's dealing with, as Lindy Ruff pointed out, an upper body as well as a shoulder. So, you know, the double upper body situation.
A little Bo Byram salute there. It wasn't even a high stick. You know, it was below the shoulders.
It's a not so much of a goat crossing as RJ once did, but still very good.
Dude, I think we need to have this camera location more often and the proximity to the guys.
Yeah, no, they could all come in and stop on the show if they wanted to.
You notice
we were just talking about Josh Doan and his line mates.
Big
so
fail,
yes.
Sammy, producer Sam, big fail on our part. We should have had a live mic off to the side here. Could have had random drop-ins for the crew. Owen Powers
or
getting
what
by
we
right
could
now.
Have done is move this location up so they all had to go behind us.
And there's a reason we're here at the arena, because our friends, a trusted talent, presented a big day for us today and had a ton of volunteers from their group and our Sabres group, and we're going to dive into that in the back half of our show. But it was frantic here a couple hours ago in an effort to help our community. So we're going to dive in on
yes.
that, and it's really great to be back here.
Just quickly on the lines, though, I think that because no Benson, I think we're done coming back and, you know, like kind of seeing it. I think Peyton Krebs becomes, again, that utility knife, that Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. He could play in Benson's spot, maybe. Yeah. With Tage and Tuck.
Yep.
Maybe if Tage is not in the lineup Wednesday, maybe that's another place for Krebs to be in. Like, there's so much you can do, but more bodies, healthier bodies, that's all we want to see for the Sabres continue on that 25-game stretch.
They're still not 100% healthy, obviously.
Especially on a back end.
And that's the thing. So with the trade deadline March 6th, and we're not seeing Connor Timmins yet, Metsä is back up after being assigned to the Amerks and had points down there. I was there Friday calling the game with Don. Ended up being a loss in overtime mm-hmm. to Laval, who are on, again, another incredible point streak. The Amerks have been chipping away. They're holding their own. They've still got eyes on second in the division, but they're closer to fifth at the moment. It's just the nature of the North.
Yeah.
But Metz is back, and Kesselring is, we're going to be talking about this again, still trying to find his footing and consistency and impact for this group. So with March 6th looming for all teams in a trade deadline, like, what is your gut telling you right now?
Well, I'm looking at depth on the blue line as something that Jarmo Kekalainen, the general manager, is going to try to address moving forward. They got so many forwards right now. Even if you wanted to bring back Konstantin Helenyushop, that could play a role. Jordan Greenway is a big question mark because, obviously, he's still dealing with, you know, what was ailing him with the two surgeries, and there's still some question marks there. But, which, by the way, you mentioned Kesselring. When Quinn Hughes was talking about Jack Hughes and how hard it's been for Jack Hughes the last 2 years, shoulder, in like
bizarre
surgery.
Injury.
Like, bizarre injury with the knife incident at the restaurant,
yep.
whatever. Like, but he's like, you never get yourself training, being feeling good. You're always kind of behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's Kesselring this year for us. That's what I was looking at, is he never got himself going. And although I think he'll have a big part of this blue line moving forward, mm-hmm. now we are in basically end of February, early March. We don't have a lot to the regular season left and open playoffs. I think this is where, like, if you're Jarmo Kekalainen, you got to say, okay, we need depth on the blue line, because maybe Kesselring is not going to give us the hockey that we wanted for him this year, mm-hmm. but it's just the circumstances of what happened. So I think that's where I'm looking at.
That's why it's always hard to talk, and I get it. Everybody has lives. You can't possibly know everything about everything every year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to wide brush any commentary historically for me, because there's always stories within the big story.
Yeah.
You know, like, history's not going to, like, what if the Sabres go on to win the Cup? Like, people aren't going to be talking about the challenge of Michael Kesselring that year. You know what I mean? But, like, everybody has all these
but
challenges.
But it's there.
It's real, but he might not be a huge part of it, right? Like, maybe, or maybe he ends up being a hero and everybody forgets, like, the 82 games that preceded the playoffs. Like,
guys calling up, like, Josh Dunn and whatever, right?
And if I just made you veer off the road because I said Sabres and winning the Cup, like, does it surprise you that they, apparently, producer Sam validates this, 10th best odds to win the Stanley Cup, tied with three other teams at plus 4,000. And who are the three other teams?
I'm a little surprised at that. 10th best odd, although
they've been
because the East is so tough.
But they've been hovering in the standings between like 9th overall and 12th overall for over a month.
Lindy Ruff is the leading odds candidate for the Jack Adams Trophy right now.
So the Sabres are plus 4,000 to win the Cup. Who are the other three teams at plus 4,000?
I'm going to say like Pittsburgh, Boston, maybe a Western team in there. That would be like my guess. Teams that are in and around there.
Capitals.
Okay. They're not even a playoff spot right
now. Not yet. The Mammoth.
They are in a playoff spot, I believe.
Mm-hmm. This one is most interesting. Most interesting.
The Florida Panthers.
Right division, wrong team.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right division, wrong team.
Montreal. Okay.
And I think because of everything we've seen the last 2 years and already the entirety of the season series between the Canadiens
They're
and
tied.
Sabres and their age and the standings just 2 points apart, I think that's really, really, really interesting that both of these teams find themselves in this spot entering the final week of February.
I may have put Montreal a little ahead.
Right.
But to know that the odds maker are seeing the push from the Sabres the last, 2 months and what that caused.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a big jump to be 10th in the odds for the Stanley Cup right now.
There is Zach Metsa rolling on by.
I know. And aforementioned Michael Kesselring, too.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Big guy.
Don't forget coaches.
Yeah, coaches, obviously. The two mics are going by. Bills and Ansel.
Two mics are hot right
two
here.
Two mics.
We're going to add a
You guys could run a show, guys. You call it the two mics.
Oh, they have their own podcast. Apparently, we need to steal some content from it. And we definitely want you in the building when the Sabres return home, but not only for the end of this season, next year as well. So season ticket memberships, they include playoff priority, Sabres store and concession discount, exclusive member-only events and experiences, guaranteed same seat for every game, dedicated account manager, much more. You can become a member today at sabres.com/membership. Our friends at Trusted Talent played a big...
On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
Big role in helping our community here at the arena this morning. Their CEO, Martin Vidal, comes up next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling along here, first show of the week and first show in a while. Welcome back. It's great to be with you here on Sabres Live. The emotions and emotional roller coaster of the Olympic Games is over. And, of course, the beauty of the Games is it's meant to pull everyone together and unite. And, obviously, you witness such heroic feats of athleticism and raw emotion over the course of the last few weeks. And, it brings us back to where we sit today, which is right in the heart of the city at KeyBank Center and doing things for the community. And sometimes those don't always unfold unless you get this nudge and you have this partnership and you have this desire together to do great things. And Trusted Talent has been a wonderful partner of the Sabres for years now. And today is about Trusted Gives. And Martin Vidal, the CEO of Trusted Talent, is with us. It's great to see you again. It wasn't long ago you were joining us on the set on a game night experience, and this just kind of furthers what we continue to do together. Take us through the potential community impact that we were involved in here this morning.
Absolutely. So today, as we've been doing this now for a few years with you guys, my entire company, we do a give back day once a year, and so we made it around this partnership and this event. And what we were doing is building care kits, so in essence hygiene packs, mm-hmm. for individuals of Buffalo Public Schools as well as the Buffalo City Mission. And so it's just a really important day because together we built 800 care packs. Those care packs are going to go to those individuals that wouldn't necessarily have those things, daily essentials that make your life easier on a day-to-day on a regular basis. And so it's a small token, but it's one of those things it has a big impact, and we just really appreciate and are so grateful for the Sabres partnership that we have.
And it's the things that sometimes people take for granted, right?
Absolutely.
Soap and toothbrush and toothpaste and deodorant and shampoo, and this was all put together in a bag with a Sabres, you know, pennant, kind of just like, and it's nice drawstring bags that they can use for other other things too. But what did you think of how it went? Because it was kind of like assembly line, and your crew, they were quick.
They went through it.
I mean, at the end trying to put them in the boxes, and they kept coming like too fast.
I think it's when people are in a line, they just, the natural tendency is just to keep moving, and we were rolling. It was supposed to be 2 hours. I think we got through in about 30 minutes. It was pretty cool.
Take us through just what trusted, you know, talent, but also this arm of it, trusted gives, like, throughout the course of a year, like what are you doing, and what else are you doing, is how I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it's in our fabric of our DNA as a company to give back, and so we had always been doing that for years. And then when we started the foundation, it really is, our mission is really just to show up for the community where we're needed, and that comes in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's charitable donations, other times it's volunteering, you know, but in a grand scheme, you know, a lot of times we have a lot of amazing nonprofits and foundations in this community, and there's a lot of people that are really working towards doing great things in Buffalo. And so sometimes it's just highlighting those other nonprofits and other foundations and the people, and trying to bring a focus on doing good in the community. I think at the end of the day, if everyone can do a little bit more, that collective work can really have a powerful impact on the community.
And you mentioned, obviously, this is Western New York, Buffalo, where we live and where we love the people. But you mentioned about doing a little bit more in the community. You guys do that day, but, you know, what's the message also to your employees and to their family and friends of, okay, here's other ways that you can help and impact the community?
Yeah, I mean, we do, we have our gala every year. We have a 716 Community Day, which is our kind of flagship event. It's a huge event in MLK Park in July. Mm-hmm. We feed 2,000 people, give them fresh produce, clothing, backpacks, bikes, all these amazing things that, you know, we take for granted on the day-to-day, but it makes a huge impact on a community like that. And so there's so many different ways that you can get involved. Coming to, if you want to, you know, learn more about what we do, going to trustedgives.org, following our social pages. You know, we are constantly trying to, you know, really go where we're needed. You know, wherever in the community needs help, you know, we want to showcase and highlight and try and bring some attention to do good things.
Like, how big is your organization now? Because obviously we saw a small army and volunteers that were here, but I'm just curious, like, how many people?
Yeah, so internally we have about 80 internal employees, and then externally between our doctors and our nurses, you know, we're over 500 across the country.
Wow.
So we have a pretty large following of people that are always, you know, and in essence, what we do is staffing doctors, nurses, therapists. You know, they're all in the community, in the hospitals, in the healthcare facilities, really doing good things and helping others. And we wanted to be an extension of that internally with our staff.
That's a pretty large percentage of your internal base, though.
Absolutely.
That showed up today and volunteered.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is something that I think, you know, as we're interviewing people, we're really, you know, it has to be something that they're passionate about as well. And if they're not, then, you know, they're not a good fit for the company. And I think that's really important.
Now, we talk hockey here on this show, and we've been talking about the Sabres and the Olympics. When everybody got here this morning, and obviously yesterday was Sunday, so I don't know if you got to talk to any of them. What was the water cooler stuff about Team USA winning gold medal yesterday with Tage Thompson?
It was amazing. I mean, I didn't get a chance to talk to too many people about it, but everyone I did, you know, were, you know, they were glued to their TVs at 8 a.m. You know, I mean, I know with my kids, I was watching it all throughout the Olympics, and we were watching Miracle during the week, you know, with my son, because he's into hockey. And so just that experience, and then the tribute to Gaudreau during the game was just beautiful. I mean, I don't think there was anyone in my house that wasn't kind of tearing up over it. It was just really, really incredible.
Yeah, when they brought Johnny Gaudreau's jersey in and realized that they had his jersey into the locker room, and then they brought it out on the ice, and they had Johnny's kids with the team picture, knowing that it was Johnny's boy, little John's second birthday yesterday. So it was all coming together. I thought that was a very emotional and very appropriate way to remember a teammate that represented USA Hockey for so many years.
Absolutely.
Again, you talk about community. Like, the hockey is a community in itself, and always trying to help and support one another. And I think Zach Werenski was a big part of that. Obviously, played with Johnny in Columbus when Johnny ultimately passed.
Yeah, it's a continuation for USA Hockey. Mm-hmm. They, like the Jackets and the NHL, have been so supportive of the Gaudreau family in wake of.
It was great to see his parents
right
there,
and that's exactly
so cool.
And it's been that way from the moment of this tragedy.
It was Tortorella in Philly that brought Johnny's dad, and
Meredith and her strength, and you know, world championships, which the U.S. won on Tage's golden goal last year, first time in almost 100 years the team, like, the jersey was in the room then. And so this is just consistency and heartfelt moments and being in the right place. And, you know, again, small samples and different ideals, but that's kind of why we're here today, right? Like, you got to show up consistently.
100%. Even with the team. I mean, you see that brotherhood that was going on with that team.
Right.
You know, I heard the interviews after the game. Michael was tearing up. I mean, everyone's kind of, you know, really feeling, you know, that brotherhood of USA Hockey was really cool.
Well, I mentioned Tage coming back with that experience, but it's the same thing for you with Trusted Talent. Like, when you get somebody that has had such an impact somewhere else and has learned something, and you sit in an interview, like, are you like, I want this person
absolutely
on my staff because that edge that's being brought over.
I mean, that's the stuff that creates a great culture. You know, when you get, you know, those pieces, it's all about putting the right pieces together. And so, it's so important.
You play hockey?
I play hockey. I played hockey my whole life. It's, in the last 4 or 5 years have stopped because my wife was getting tired of those, like, you know, late night men's league. My
you look like you're getting younger. This is why I act. Like, I feel like
Duffer's and not the compliment today. Yeah. So we're all taking it. No, but you said your kids love skiing.
Yeah,
my
kids
love watching
skiing,
a lot of skiing.
Yeah, absolutely. Skiing and then in hockey. My son's loving hockey. So, yeah, it's been very cool. The Olympics, I mean, it's a great time to be able to kind of, you know, take in, obviously, and celebrate your country, but, you know, watch some really amazing athletics.
Was he Thorne when Dahlin and Thompson were going against each other in the quarterfinal?
Yeah, when we were, he's a big Thompson fan, too, so, I mean, it was definitely, it was a great game to watch.
I was a little Thorne.
Yeah.
Well, that stuff is what I remember as a kid, like when my favorite players, but most notably when Perreault would show up for all these All-Star games, then he's lining up with LaFleur and whoever else. And as a kid, it's confusing to a certain extent. It's like you want your guy.
Absolutely. Imagine Toronto.
Right.
Mitch Marner scores the overtime game winner against Czechia in the quarterfinal. So you're a fan of the Maple Leafs, but you're cheering on Canada, and then the guy that just left to go to Vegas scores the goal, and you're like, not him. Like, it's just
totally
confusing a little bit.
So you were saying your son was watching Miracle?
Yeah.
How old?
He's 7.
And so how did you see him seeing it through that lens at that age?
Well, my wife kept saying it's, you know, that happened the year I was born. So 79 is, you know, or, well, 80, right?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, she's like, it's as old as dad, you know? So that was kind of an interesting thing, too, just him to kind of have the concept of how old and how long that was.
Yeah.
But just watching that movie, it's, I mean, you can't help but, you know, get kind of, you know, emotional watching it, you know? And I think being able to take that and then, you know, put that into his, you know, day-to-day when he's playing hockey is really cool.
So my youngest daughter's 19, and she just brought it up the other day that her boyfriend was wanting her to watch Miracle with him. And her takeaway at 19 was really cool for me to just, like, because, you know you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh my God, this is real. This is real.
Well, it always
has
a bigger impact when it's a real life story.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I was expressing upon her was like, and I think the coolest part is the longer we are removed from the Miracle on Ice, the story somehow still gets even cooler.
100%, yeah.
You know, we're talking about the best players in the world from the NHL participating in these Olympics. It makes it that much more impossible to think that a bunch of college kids did what they did for Team USA in 1980. It's amazing.
That's a great point.
It really is.
Well, for the Olympic send-off, we had Mike Ramsey on the show, right?
Yeah.
And talking about how grueling it was to get, you know, 6 months of training camp with Herb Brooks to get there. And they did show that
in the movie,
which is great. It's totally different for these guys. But then in a different way, how grueling is the NHL regular season and then have to come together so quickly to win a gold medal. It's almost a different way to put it as magical as Team USA was able to do it, but that was cool.
That was very cool.
Are you a curling fan?
I didn't watch as much curling as everyone
else. As the rest of North America subjected to.
I just was seeing on the news this morning it's blowing up in Western New York right now. So I didn't watch as much.
I watched so much curling, and obviously, like, there was a scandal, controversy, Team Canada touching the stone as they got released and all that. They ended up winning gold.
Well, I'm glad they got something.
Cheaters.
Cheaters, exactly. the memes online that have come up.
I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
It's fantastic.
I guarantee you, every Canadian would, almost every Canadian would trade that curling gold for a hockey gold.
Probably. In the women's
Had, and then you had the Blue Jays too. You know, that was a tough situation.
It's heartbreak all around.
You a baseball guy?
A little bit here
and there. Duffer's huge.
Martin, leave us with one last message that you would want from your company for today and moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of reiterating what I said earlier. I think it's just really important that everyone tries to do a little bit more each day. You know, I mean, we're so fortunate, or at least I am so fortunate to have what I have. And I think if everyone has the commitment to try and do a little bit more, do some, you know, love the other people near you and in your community around you, and try and take care of us, you know, the people around you, is really important. And I think that together, the more we do that, the more powerful it can become and the better off for the community it is.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate
this.
Thanks, guys.
Great day for us, as always. That's Martin Vidal from Trusted Talent. It was about Trusted Gives today and the impact you can have in your community. Of course, we have the Black History Month 50-50 raffle. We're getting days away from this happening. It's presented by Northtown Automotive. Guaranteed $10,000 jackpot. It benefits the Resource Council of Western New York. You can get your tickets now at sabres.com/5050 or scan the QR code on the screen here on MSG. It's now through the end of February, which is rapidly.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Winding down as we sit here on the 23rd on this Monday afternoon. We'll wrap up Sabres Live right after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Help us celebrate the impact of women in sports. It's March 8th here as we honor female athletes, administrators, and fans during our matchup with the Lightning in town. Get your tickets now at sabres.com/tickets. Buffalo returns to action on Wednesday after continuing to practice. You're laughing. What's up, buddy?
Well, I'm reading some, obviously, I got into a very, very rabbit hole of social media.
Oh, boy.
And, like, what's trending. How about this one? If you're Canadian and you have a son, you must put him in goalie training right now. Oh, we have a goalie epidemic on our hands here. Like, come on, people. Like, what's wrong with people sometimes? Like, it's the ebbs and flows of there's great Canadian goalies, and there's great Canadian player. They lost, and now Canadians are complaining, 3-on-3 is not hockey. You know what? When Crosby scored in 2010, it was 4-on-4.
Which was not 3-on-3.
Which was not 3-on-3, but it was what the NHL was using, 4-on-4 at the time. And now it's 3-on-3.
Don't get me started. 3-on-3 stinks.
I get that, but it's also John Cooper had the best way. Everybody knew the rules going into the tournament. Mm-hmm. They knew that nobody at the Olympics especially want to be there for 6-7 hours. It's not the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's different. Oh. Peter Forsberg won a gold medal in the shootout against Corey Hirsch.
Why do you think I love the shootout?
But now everybody's going to love 3-on-3 a little bit more in the U.S. because of Jack Hughes. It's fine, people. Everything's fine. Canada lost and the USA won. No big deal.
Not to get too far ahead, but on the final home night of the season, it's Tage Thompson bobblehead night here as part of fan appreciation. So I would like it if you could give your best assessment of the Tage bobblehead for the first 15,000 on April the 15th. Please rate the Tage Thompson bobblehead.
I'm going to say 9.8 out of 10. I think it's a fantastic bobblehead. It's in the one-timer position. The hands and the stick perfectly placed up in the air. Love the look of Tage. I think it's a 9.8 out of 10 right there for the bobblehead of Tage Thompson. And I love how he's nodding.
Uh-huh.
Like the head is bobbling. Uh-huh. Like, give me the puck. Give me the puck. Give me the puck. Boom. There you go.
Do you think they'll make accessories available, like a gold medal to wrap around the neck of that?
I don't know, but maybe if the Sabres don't do it, I may stand out front and be like,
$5
for a little gold medal to add to Tage Thompson. There you go. I think it's a great, it was a great release. Obviously, USA win gold.
Yeah.
Tage Thompson, you know, being that he was a big part of Team USA and now is bobblehead, I think it was awesome.
So there are not a lot of birthdays in Sabres history, and we can't wait for Tage to come back, obviously, and be a part of this. And who knows whether he and Jack Hughes are going to be in the lineup on Wednesday night when the Sabres meet the Devils. Birthdays, though, there's only one former Sabre.
Okay.
Marco Scandella.
Marco Scandella.
36.
A good guy.
36. My spontaneous trivia for you.
Okay.
How many have worn number 6 for the Sabres since Scandella?
Since Marco Scandella. I don't think I can name one.
There's one on the team, dude.
There's one on the team right now. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's Zach Benson.
Yes.
Okay.
The other two might have been harder. Eric Johnson for his brief stay.
Yeah.
And Ethan Prow for his even briefer stay, but he did score his first NHL goal in his first game, which was pretty wild. So.
Sorry, Zach Benson. I thought you were still 9.
That's an easy mistake to make. Thanks for being back with us today, folks. We'll do it all.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.